Amen. Thank you, Sue. It's always good to pray before a sermon, isn't it? It's not just a talk from a human being, but we pray that God would actually speak to us and impart his word to us. When we planned these sermons, I think this one was going to be Transcendence and Presence, but then just confused the notice sheet, I changed the order of them. So we're actually looking at value number 7, the now and the not yet of the kingdom. What does that mean? Well, the way that John Coles from New Wine explains it, he says this: we want to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and to see that confirmed by miraculous signs and wonders, while also ministering grace to all, knowing that suffering will be part of life until Jesus returns and makes all things new. We're looking forward to the kingdom of God, but it's not yet here. It's not yet in its fulfillment anyway. Suffering will still be a part of life until Jesus returns and makes all things new. Now and not yet. Bit of a catchphrase in theology, that, because it describes the kingdom of God started, inaugurated with the birth and the earthly ministry of Jesus, but not yet fulfilled and completed. Before Jesus in the Old Testament, the Jews looked forward to one great day, the day of the Lord, when Messiah would come from God and he would set everything to rights. He'd deal finally with their enemies, their oppressors. He'd vindicate God's people, Israel, and he would usher in the new age of God's reign on earth. And when Jesus came, Jesus announced that. He announced that the kingdom of God had arrived. But it puzzled the Jews. It didn't quite look how they were expecting it to look. For a start, Jesus wasn't a military leader. He didn't go and conquer the Roman Empire. He didn't lead the armies of Israel. He wasn't powerful and glorious at all. And the people were still sick and disabled. The Jews didn't understand. How could this be the Messiah? How could this be the day of the Lord and the kingdom of God? And Jesus explained that the kingdom had begun. The kingdom of God is near you at the very gates, but it's not yet completed or fulfilled. In other words, it wasn't a one-stage process, but it was a two-stage process. And we live in what some people have called the overlap between the two ages. The age to come has begun, but this present age still continues. And one day Jesus will return, the second coming, in Greek, the parousia. And Jesus will wrap up this present age. But for now, we live with both. We live with both the kingdom of this world and also the kingdom of God. And living with both of them is a bit of a tension. It kind of feels sometimes like you're being pulled apart, pulled in two. I know we don't often bless you with three Bible readings in morning worship, but this theme is not very easy to grasp. So a bit more scripture gives us several different angles to learn from. And like all the current New Wine values, it's expressed as a pair of opposing qualities, which might even appear contradictory. If the kingdom is here now, for example, then why do we still see sin and sickness and evil in the world? And if the kingdom is not yet here, then how can we frail humans truly be the people of God in the world? Have a look at our first reading from Isaiah, familiar to us from Christmas time, well, strictly speaking, from Epiphany. And also from Handel's Messiah. You might think I've heard those words somewhere before, haven't I? And Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 60 is addressed to people in exile. and they're downcast from years of oppression under a foreign power. But Isaiah is announcing the Lord's salvation. He's saying, it's coming. In fact, it's already here. And he's encouraging the people to lift their eyes and see God at work, to have faith, to hope in God. Is this salvation for now? Has it arrived? Yes, says Isaiah, your light has come. The Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. But it's also not yet. Its complete fulfillment is still to come. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. It's both now and not yet. Now, I'm really sorry to tell you that the theologians have coined a posh phrase for this: inaugurated eschatology. Can you get your tongue around that? Inaugurated eschatology. Let's all say that together. Why not? Inaugurated eschatology. There you go. You've learned a bit today, haven't you? Eschatology is the study or doctrine of the eschaton, the last things, meaning the end of this present age and the ushering in of the age to come. But the Christian message, the good news, is that Jesus the Messiah has come on earth, and the age to come has already started. Jesus has inaugurated the kingdom of God. Isaiah's prophecy is one of the most messianic bits of the Old Testament. Many parts of his book read like a gospel in the New Testament as he announces salvation to the Jews, as he, I think, miraculously describes the intimate details of forgiveness achieved by a sacrificial death. And he says it's starting now. It's happening now, but not yet completed, not yet fulfilled. And then in our second reading from Colossians, Paul encourages the Colossian Christians. If you go and visit Turkey, you can walk in the fields amongst the stone ruins and foundations of Colossae with Laodicea on top of the cliffs up above you. And like Isaiah, Paul tells the Christians in Colossae not to dwell on earthly things, but to lift their eyes, to set their hearts on the things of God, on the faith and the love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. We live in this present age on earth, of course we do,